Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you?
We are tonight's entertainment.
Midnight movie night.
Get used to disappointment.
We are the Midnight Movie Nights.
I am Groot.
Okay, well, you didn't tell me you were going to change it up like that. I guess we'll throw our guests in now that you've made them laugh. Thanks. We are normally two idiots with microphones bringing you a weekly not-safe-for-work dose of verbal diarrhea about life, pop culture, and most importantly, movies. But this week, well, there's more than two of us. We are being joined by Patrick Blazek, Revelstoke Jim, also known as Jim Browning, and Mark Thorner. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Today is Saturday, December 13th, 2014, and I am Miranda Janelle.
I am that fracking cat who is not Groot.
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first time we've announced the guests before we've even announced who we are. Hopefully people know who we are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this is only our 50th time.
I only announce it so I know who I am.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It changes from day to day. I never know. Giddy Bob.
If you would like to interact with the live show, go ahead and send us a tweet at Movie Nights Pod. Remember when I couldn't get that right?
Yeah,
there was like five
last
episodes.
Week?
Shut up.
Win.
We are changing it up again.
Just for tonight. It's a
yeah, just for tonight. What?
Nothing. I'm not going to look anymore.
Okay. You are a distracted kitty.
That's why I said I'm not going to look anymore.
Okay, but how are we supposed to have a conversation with our guests if you won't even look them in the eye?
Well, I got these things over my ears that can hear what they say.
Okay.
So that might help.
Now you're dropping things. Oh, my gosh. Can we just do a show already?
Focus.
Yeah. As I previously mentioned, we have been joined by Jim Browning, Patrick Blazek, and Mark Thorner. How you guys doing?
Good. Okay.
All right. Well, we just watched Guardians of the Galaxy. It's our flick pick for this week. We are not going to be doing the Tournament of Segments. And, look at that. I didn't even put any... Oh, bummer. Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about the tech stuff. Moving on. Oh, Kitty.
Yeah.
This is where you take over and start talking while I... Speak.
Yeah, I'm speaking.
Okay.
I'm saying words.
Talk to the guys.
I'm talking to them. Okay. I didn't want to look at the screen anymore. I was afraid of what I would see.
Nothing.
Jim, what are you doing?
What you're waving your hand? Alone. Talk to them.
I'm talking to them. You're doing like, okay, guys, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, we've got a flick pick.
What's up?
No. What is up? Yeah.
The flick pick.
Oh, yeah. I tried this great experiment where I switched audio boards. Not doing that one again.
So yeah, that's the change up this week. We're actually going to talk about the movie at great length.
I call bullshit.
Why? We're not going to? Bullshit. What are we going to talk about? Xanadu? That's a pretty good movie.
I already screwed it up. Oh, well, I'm not going to call attention to it.
Okay, because I missed it. So what do you think of Xanadu, Jim? Mark?
Oh, I loved it. Gene Kelly rocked.
Yeah.
The last true MGM musical.
Yeah. The effects were amazing.
Robert Greenberg and Associates.
And who didn't love Olivia Newton-John, right?
I know. She was on roller skates. Okay, so, I guess we can talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Since we watched it, why not? Come on, Steve.
Yeah, our flick pick was Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, Patrick, you hadn't previously seen it, had you?
That's correct. I was a virgin tonight. And now I'm not. And I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was great.
Awesome. Awesome.
I was hoping that you would like it.
So, Kitty, you're the one who put all of this together. What were your thoughts?
Oh, why? Why did it? Well,
come on. Yeah, why are we doing something different on episode 50?
Well, especially with these guys, because a couple of weeks ago, I think Mark said that he would really like to talk about it with you. And I know Patrick hadn't seen it, and I really thought he would like it. And so, I mean, I just had to. And Jim liked it, so, you know.
Well, I had nothing else to do, so.
Yeah, you had nothing else to do. And I figured, why not? Want to have Jim tag along. So, but I know most of us, except for Patrick, because he hadn't seen it at the time, enjoyed this movie. And you and I, we really hadn't talked about it. I mean, we kind of mentioned it, and we didn't really actually go into depth about it or give any kind of spoilers. But
yeah, we never end up doing, spoilery stuff. But I think we should start changing that.
Just start spoiling everything?
Yeah. Okay. It's just easier.
What's a movie I can spoil real
quick? You guys should brand yourself as the spoilers.
In that movie, spoilers? All right, the end of Xanadu, everybody died.
That's right.
I was going to say that about Guardians of the Galaxy.
You see, that's
well, now
wrong.
I have to come up with a new ending for it.
You suck.
Okay, most of the people live, but some people die. Yeah, okay. There's our spoiler.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
That's Midnight Movie Nights.
Yeah. And as always, that's Nights with a K.
Everyone has dead friends.
Yeah. And it's no excuse to get everyone else dead along the way. Oh, yeah. What are you doing over there?
It's.
You're killing me, Kitty. Oh, crap. Is it okay? Yes. Someone dropped his iPad.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the stand I had for it. It's not wanting to work right. I don't know what's wrong with it. So
sure.
I'm taking
blame the stand. It's not the box of chocolates you put it on?
No, I didn't put it on. I put it on the desk. The desk that's like 3 foot down away from me.
I love giving you crap. Go ahead. Say it, Jim.
No, I'm just curious, when do you put the Depends in the shopping cart?
That's not funny. I'm the one who has to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm told to.
What? So, Guardians of the Galaxy. Right off the bat, that opening sequence where Peter faces his first real loss. I really like what they did with his mom, but I did have one issue with it. If you look at her, it's clear, she's very ill. She's just about to pass on, very frail, super chapped lips, no color in her skin whatsoever. But she has these perfectly manicured nails. Those nails looked way too healthy for a woman in her condition.
Well, she had all that family around her. Maybe someone was doing her nails.
Look at it this way. Lee press-on nails at that point were still, the thing to do. So maybe that's what she had.
True. It was 88.
Well, in this viewing, I was actually looking for things that I could complain about, because I think this is my sixth time seeing it, possibly my seventh. And this movie only came out on August 1st of this year.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it again this weekend, tomorrow night.
I've been trying to watch it after the show each night this week with the director's commentary, but I keep falling asleep. I just kind of, not that it's boring, it's just I'm so wiped out. You listen to the commentary and you just get relaxed. And yeah, I haven't made it to the end of the commentary yet, so I'll watch it again for the commentary.
Good. I'm glad somebody else attempted this week and failed.
I would like to see the commentary track too.
Yeah, I haven't done any of the special features yet. This was actually the first time since I got it on Tuesday, so it's the first time since Tuesday that I actually opened it up and finally put it in the Blu-ray player. I haven't seen any of the special features yet.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, it's something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
I'm really particularly interested in the gag reel. They have to have one on this one.
It's quite funny.
I can only imagine how great it is. It's just with the level of humor that they wrote into this movie. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Wow, lovely. That already happened. Okay. I can only imagine some of the pranks they had to have played on each other, or some of the silly things that they would have gotten wrong and how they would have made each other laugh. It's just,
or people running around in green suits looking really odd.
Okay, yeah, most likely because. Well, the visuals in this movie are pretty spectacular. I do have some particular favorite scenes. Just about any of them in space. I don't know. Patrick, I know you like to you tend to pay attention to those details. This being your first time, did you start? Were you looking at it through that eye?
No, when I first see a movie, unless it's something that I would be aware that there are some issues with it, I'm not looking for them. Or I remember seeing The Ring before it was in wide distribution. I saw an early cut of The Ring, and there were shots where I saw the boom mics, and I could not watch the movie after that because I was watching for every mistake and every boom mic, and you would see a camera reflected somewhere, and this was not one of those because as much as you guys have talked about it or I've heard about it, I just went into it like I was going into a Star Wars movie or something like that and just went, if there's something that pops out, I'll notice it. If not, that's for my next viewing. So, I didn't notice anything. I didn't do it that way. I just enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. How about you, Mark? Anything in the scenery catch your eye?
Well, on this viewing, I was noticing things, subtle things like the texturing and the shadows on Groot as he's walking down hallways, and how they really busted their butts to really match things. It's like, I'm just like, wow, that is impressive. That's that kind of same thing with Rocket. I'm like, you just these are characters, it's like, okay, they finally got this part down where they can create just about anything. Plus, I just don't believe it. It's like I said to you some time ago, the Marvel Universe is open.
You know?
And that's why when they announced this, it's like, wow, they're really going for, it's like they're going this way? Okay, and then when I realized they weren't doing the original lineup, it's like, wow, they're taking a chance with this one. But you know what? It worked. The humor, it has the right balance of entertainment.
Well, that opening scene kicks your ass. It's just okay. The drama was turned up past 11.
Yeah, the kid, he has to deal with the loss of his mom. Oh, by the way, you're being abducted by.
Yeah, and then the next thing we see is 26 years later, and he's on some strange planet dancing while he kicks the little rat that, you know.
Little rat lizards, yeah.
I love using it as a microphone. That's what gets me. It's like.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the kid because, you know, first off, he's got to deal with the fact at the beginning that turns out his grandpa is Greg Henry, the creepy guy from Body Double. I think there's a whole story there too, but kicking the lizard creature things is great. It's like PETA can't complain, they're not real.
I'm sure they'll find a way to, you know, people for the ethical treatment of imaginary animals.
They'll go put signs up and destroy the
PETA
landscape.
No, that was Greenpeace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wrong show.
Yeah, and a couple days late.
Yeah.
That conversation was Thursday. Glad you're keeping up with things.
I like to be current.
Now, what was that, Katie?
I said I like to be current and relevant with things and know what's going on. I keep my finger on the pulse.
Well, if you want to be current and relevant, let's talk about Guardians.
Okay, let's do it.
I acted him. I'm sorry. I'm like a piece of yarn to him on the show.
He's got a little plaything here. That's I can't get it down far enough.
Oh.
What?
You hush, Jim. That's not right.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, God. Okay.
I said nothing.
So once he gets his dance number over with, we find out that Star-Lord is not exactly, she's not like the punch-em hero who, you know, fights his way everything. He kind of just, like, gives up easily.
Yeah, the guys come in, point the guns at him, just he's like, drops drop the, just okay, drops the orb. But, okay, all right, it's yours.
I kind of like that. It reminds me of Malcolm Reynolds, you know, from Firefly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
I don't like it. He's not going to talk tough or anything, you know, try to be the tough guy. He's like,
it's
sure.
It's the more natural thing. It's absolutely. I mean, who's going to? I'm sorry. I mean, you have some sort of situation like that, and I think your instincts are to defuse it, just like oh okay yeah let's. I mean, who? Only an idiot, I think, goes in swinging right away. And no, I liked it. I like the fact that it's like, yeah, no, you have whatever you want. Take it.
Yeah, you got bigger guns than I do, so yeah.
Jaiman Hansu holding that big ass gun in your face, you're gonna drop whatever you're holding to. Definitely. And then how he ends up escaping out of that, you know, he's so smooth as the hero until he's actually getting into the Milano, and then he starts goofing up and bouncing around all over the place. Now, mind you. It was a very impressive escape. I just love that last little touch. It looked like he was going to go in perfectly and have the perfect takeoff and everything, and then he just starts bumbling it, drops to the ground. The realistic nature of it is just one of the many, many reasons why I love that scene.
What do you want to bet that he was going for, like, a Dukes of Hazzard thing?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking it was, you know, supposed to be like the Dukes of Hazzard, and then it's just not graceful and elegant. forgets that Barit was in in there the entire time. Pink girl.
I even forgot her name.
Yeah. And he's just so matter of a fact. He's like, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I forgot you were here.
I guess they're not friends.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. let's see. And anyone have any other thoughts on the escape or while they were still on Morag?
The realistic nature of it is what I enjoyed as well. Yeah, I was expecting it to be a smooth, quick escape without any mistakes, and I think that's what kind of drew me. Of course, everything will tie back to this for me, but it was very Star Warsy to me in that sense. That it was gritty, and it was not. It wasn't smooth, you know. It felt more like that universe, like a realistic way that any of us might try to escape with something we're not fully familiar with in an environment, that sort of thing. So I enjoyed it.
I agree. I think, I mean, look how we deal with technology now in our lives. It doesn't always work. It's not smooth. It's not slick.
It wants to fall whenever you don't want it to.
Yep.
Yeah. So why I think it makes it more realistic if you push the button and things don't always work.
Or you're just flying along after you've made your escape and you really only have the one bumble, and then Geyser just knocks your ship completely out. Yeah, but one thing, when they were back on the ship and, you know, they show the tape deck and everything and his little troll doll and the Alf cards and all of his things, you know, all the things that he had with him when he was abducted, you see the backpack. That damn thing still looks brand new.
So did the shirt.
Yeah, that's true. And, wait, and, yeah, but... Yeah.
She stretched it out, so...
Well, I like what you said, Kitty.
What?
She wore it better.
It was amazing to see that he had kept all of that. You can see how much it means to him that he would keep all of those little trinkets, because that's all he had.
Yeah, that is his last connections back to Earth.
I have a backpack from YMCA day camp that I attended when I was 10, and it still, I mean, it's hanging in the closet. It still looks in pretty good shape, and it's well over 42 years ago. So yeah, why can't his backpack still look pretty good?
I don't know. I just have a very hard time believing that an 8-year-old kid would be able to care for a backpack that well. I get the cassette player and everything, because that's, you know, that's his link to his mom. But a backpack, an 8-year-old kid's going to tear that up. That's just me.
Well, just a regular kid on Earth who could always get another backpack.
Well, I guess when you're constantly being, you know, reminded that that the crew wanted to eat you. You keep the one thing that can hold all of your stuff. I guess you keep that in pristine order.
That's what I was just going to say, is that was the last thing that he had to hold all of the things that were dear to him. He would guard that one in life.
Yeah.
You know, try to keep it, you know, and I mean, yeah, you're right, an 8-year-old kid, things tear, things like that, but then again, in his situation, being abducted and, being threatened to be eaten all the time, he might very well just, that might be more important to him than his own safety.
Although, now that I think about it, he was on the ship. Would he wouldn't be running around taking his backpack with him everywhere. He would store it on the ship. He would only take what he needed.
He would keep it safe.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. I feel better. I was trying to find things that I was just looking for. I was looking for stuff that I can complain about.
Okay.
It's fun to do that every now and then, especially when it's a movie that you love.
Absolutely.
I was trying to think of anything from that scene that would be something that was off, but no, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, they really did do a lot of attention to detail in this movie. Like, I'm sure stuff is there. I just haven't caught it all yet.
I would have thought the headphones would have had more wear and tear than the backpack. If he's so dedicated to the Walkman and the tapes, I just, you know, I mean, there's no foam rot. There's no tearing of the foam. It's just. I have hard enough time keeping earbuds going for like 6 months.
You know, and not necessarily foam rot, but what about that foam hardening? Because that's likely that it would have hardened up.
No, but they were able to build a cassette deck into the ship, so maybe the headphones have just been continually refurbished over the 26 years that elapsed.
I guess I didn't get to that part of the commentary yet.
Oh, wow.
Who knows, maybe.
That would be interesting if they went to that level of detail. If, like, they actually responded to the things that people had discussed and actually responded to it in the commentary. I'd find that. I think that would be interesting.
I think they put a lot of detail in it and paid attention to a lot of the little things maybe in this one, just because they had to try so hard with this one. It had to make it, because like Mark said, this is one that, you know, once that one went out there and everyone liked it, it's like, yeah, they can do anything now. I think it was, you know, like I said before, I think it was kind of the test movie because of all these other, you know, projects they want to do that they kind of held off announcing. It was kind of just rumored that they were going to do. And then after Guardians came out, they said, okay, well, yeah, we're definitely doing Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, you know. They're putting it all out there now.
Yeah, all the announcements did come after Guardians of the Galaxy opened.
So, yeah, I kind of thought that's what Guardians kind of was just the test. If this is going to do good, we've got to put a lot of work into this one. We can't half-ass it. And I think it worked.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with you, Kitty. Do you have a favorite character?
Probably Rocket. I just like Rocket because he's a smart ass.
And he's not just a
And he was the main character I thought that they would screw up on. I was really afraid that he would be like a joke or just like a comical character that they would just be cutesy, but he definitely was not cutesy. He was a smart ass.
I love it when Drax is you know, yelling about him. He has no respect. That is true. He's just agreeing with the guy, you know, lobbing insults at him.
That is also true.
Yeah, Patrick, I saw you laughing at quite a few of Rocket's lines. He's definitely a fun character. And apparently the only one who could translate Groot.
Yeah.
Now, what was... Who was it that had mentioned the lines for Groot and...
Who, the boys?
Yeah, but Vin Diesel, but how they mapped out what Groot was actually saying right then so that he could take the actual line and translate it to, you know, put the emotion behind the I am Groot.
Yeah, so someone brought it up. Just, I don't know. So you're saying just so it wasn't just a standard I Am Groot,
yeah,
kind of, because he did, you know, you could tell that he was saying something. It was just I Am Groot.
Well, but someone mentioned that they did that intentionally. That's what I'm. No, no,
I don't
Bueller.
Know. I missed that.
Bueller. Okay.
No, I didn't even hear that one. So.
No, sorry.
Then I think you said it, Kitty. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
trying to think of where they went next after... What was the planet called?
After Morag?
Yeah, Morag.
Well, then we saw Ronan coming up and him giving his speech. And come on, Lee Pace is Ronan. Loved his performance.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what his whole blue bath thing was when he emerged out of the what was some kind of little blue bath pit. Then they cleaned him up, and then they started tossing dirt on him. I'm like, you just cleaned him up. Why are you tossing dirt on him?
It's probably a Kree ceremony.
And then some ancient alien ritual.
Yeah.
alien hippies.
It's how he hibernates or whatever it is he does.
I agree with the cat because when you first see him coming up there, it's a very let's thaw out John Spartan kind of moment.
Yeah, I expected him to say, "Hey, can I get a Marlboro?"
it reminded me how like in Underworld. Second or third one, I can't remember, when they bring Marcus up, had to be the second one, when they're awakening the elders and everything, and
I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen this.
Ooh, okay.
It's a any of them? Movie.
You haven't seen any of them?
I think I kind of watched the first one. I just never got into the whole wolves and vampire thing. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Wolves and vampires? No, I never got into it.
Okay.
I mean, eventually I'll probably watch it.
Okay. Well, there's the way that they raise the elders, Ronan's waking up or his ceremonial scene. It from what I remember of those movies, that it reminds me of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's Blue Beth.
Okay, now, how about when we actually first meet Rocket and Groot and...
On the streets?
Oh, on Xandar?
Yeah.
I don't know. Xandar looks too clean to me. And again, I don't wish to take everything back to Demolition Man, but I almost expect, like, Edgar Friendly to pop up on Xandar.
Start attacking the Taco Bells?
Yeah, I didn't see any Taco Bells.
No, it just seems so... I don't know.
Sterile.
It seems... It makes me... I'm just trying to be like Miranda and snark about a movie that I like for a moment. And whenever I see that early stuff of Xander, I think, oh, it's Planet IKEA. You know?
you know what it reminded me of? Coruscant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How clean that was, or at least the upper part. And remember, there was the lower part of Coruscant. There was.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lower part of Xandar as well.
Yeah. They did have creepy old men there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner on Xandar.
In this case, it was Stan the Man, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the first time he's done this. Hefner-like impression, if I remember correctly. Didn't he
in Iron Man.
Was it Iron Man?
Yeah, he kind of looked like Hef.
Yeah, okay. Tony Stark says, Hef!
Oh, right. That's what,
and
yeah.
And which one is he dressed? Which one is it? They think he's Larry King.
I think it was Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2, okay. Iron Man 2 or Iron Man as well?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was in all of them at some point.
No, yeah. No, he's asking Iron Man 2 the number or Iron Man, like, that was, he said that again in Iron Man.
Oh. Oops.
It's too late for grammatical humor. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is when he's usually at work.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not too late for grammatical humor. We're all good.
Okay.
We're all good.
I hear. I don't want to cause problems for him.
Well,
no problems for me.
Just okay. Don't call him a thesaurus.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I particularly love when Rocket and Gamora are kind of Rocket, Gamora, and Star-Lord are all kind of going at it, and Groot's, you know, with the bag. Rocket just like grab him, and he bags up Gamora. Learn genders, man.
Yeah, that's when their paths cross because Peter has the orb. He's trying to sell it, and the guy doesn't want anything to do with it because he finds out where it's from, and then that's when Peter runs into Gamora, who snatches it from him, which I thought was pretty awesome. She's starting to talk to him using sexy eyes, and then yoink, grabs the orb and takes off.
Not just grabs the orbs and takes them. Just right in the gut, sends him flying.
He's like putting the charm on and everything, and she's like, yoink, kick.
Yeah, that's not going to work on me. Get out of here and give me that.
Mine.
And then, of course, you know, the little banter with John C. Reilly's character, which I'm blanking on the name. Damn
Day.
It. Yes.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who might not be the character Nova now.
Really?
Really?
That's, really? If they decide there, it could be Nova.
Wow.
Which would be very, very strange take on the character.
Isn't Nova supposed to be from Earth?
I'm not sure.
I don't think the original.
They kind of screwed things around with this too here. But that was part of the what they've said, supposedly, is that this could be a way to get the Nova character was with John Reilly. And I'm like, wow, that's either inspired casting or, you know, just have to wait and see what happens on that one. But I thought it was I thought it's just like a cool role for him. You know, it's like, yeah, wow, he's in, you know, good stuff, you know.
Yeah, I love the whole like, oh, check him out. He's got a code name.
Star Prince. I don't know. I felt odd seeing John C. Reilly in outer space. It just something about it didn't seem right to me because it's just like that's not where I usually see you. Kind of.
Yeah, it's there. I know what you're talking about. There's something slightly unsettling, but he has great comedic timing, so it works.
Yeah.
But there's just something a little off, like you would expect people from space to maybe not have that hair. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's his hair. His hair belongs on Terra, not on Xandar.
You're talking about his hair, and there's a guy with gigantic eyebrows that are like a foot long, and there's
and
yellow
that belongs
and blue people
on Xandar.
Yeah. It must be the humidity on Xandar that's affecting Day's hair or something.
Maybe he's trying to start a trend.
Maybe. Maybe.
He seems like a trendsetter to me.
Who?
John C. Reilly trying to get the curly hair going on Xandar.
Now, his partner, when they're making the arrest, I was a little disappointed that he didn't have a speaking role.
Who was he?
His name's Brandon Fair. And I know him primarily from Roswell. Old WB show ran for 3 seasons, and it was aliens in Roswell and their interaction with some local teenagers. It was a teenage soap opera that I absolutely loved. I hated Smallville when it first came out, because it took over Roswell's time slot, and Roswell got moved to a different network, UPN. It was right when Buffy was moved to UPN also. Like, both of them happened at the same time. But anyway.
Shows I didn't watch.
And then when we see Glenn Close for the first time, she's sort of in profile kind of thing. And I just expected when she turned or the camera moved or something, like the other half of her hair was going to be like black. It was a little unsettling. I don't know. Something about, yeah, it's just.
A little too reminiscent of a role that she once played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least she wasn't cooking bunnies.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's really going back.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how about the scene in the kiln? Well, wait. Even before that, when they're given the rundown, that's most of that scene is what we ended up seeing in the trailer, except. For Drax.
Yeah, they didn't mention Drax in the movie there. They didn't have that part.
Well, it's because he wasn't arrested with them. It didn't actually make sense. It's interesting that little bit of the trailer, most of it was there, but
Right.
Part of it didn't actually fit with the story.
Well, I like their initial capture. I mean, that's what we need here. The containment beams. It would solve a lot of problems. You know, someone's committing a crime and you just put them in a containment beam. They can't move. And they float in the air. That would be ultra cool. Look, it's a criminal. I don't care. He's floating.
Not going to be able to run away if you can't get your feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. We do need those here.
Yeah. They would run in the air like the Flintstones.
Oh, terrible thought. Nope, 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 nope. Moving on. So, Oh, we officially learn that Rocket's designation is 89P13.
Oh,
I felt the need to write that down.
That was what they classified him as? That not like a any kind of species?
Right. Oh. Right. So, like in Lilo and Stitch, Stitch's experiment 626.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's 89P13.
Well, that kind of sucks. At least Show Groot notes. Was called a living plant kind of thing.
Flora Colossus, I think. Something like that.
Wow.
Was his species name.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. It was on the little readout when they're talking about, you know.
Given their profile?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When the guy comes in and eyeballs Star-Lord and is like, well, look at the new meat, you know, the Nathan Fillion role.
Yeah.
After they get through the whole scene where, you know, Groot does the are they fingers on Groot? Let's call them fingers, even though they can...
Finger limbs.
No, they're stems. Wouldn't they be stems? They're not fingers. They're stems.
I don't know. Went up the dude's
anyway,
nose.
He sticks them up the dude's nose and everything, and afterwards the dude's just... He's just on the ground crying. Like, I hate you. That's the first time I heard that. I never caught that before. I thought that was a good detail.
Yeah.
And Rocket just takes charge.
Yeah, no, he's telling you know, he's ours. You know, you want him, go through us.
Bring me up to speed. Who, in sort of the Guardians world, who's Lila?
Honestly, I knew nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy before I watched the movie.
I'm looking right now at. I've frozen the scene we're talking about. I mean, Rocket's on screen, subject 89P13, alias Rocket, and it says associates Groot, Lila. And I'm wondering who the heck Lila is.
Maybe it's someone that they'll be introducing in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Could be. Tendency to bite.
See, I haven't been able to actually freeze frame on those. Gonna have to go back and do that, too.
Yeah. See, that was one of the things. I never read the comic book with this. So I had no clue what was going on. I just knew that, you know, it was in space and there was a walking tree and a raccoon in it.
Well, why were you so concerned that they would screw up Rocket if you knew nothing about Rocket?
Because I'd seen pictures of it. He looked like he was mean. And it's, you know, Disney. Figured they'd make him, like, cute, have these big eyes. Probably at some point put a hat on his head with ears.
Big Eyes is a different movie.
I don't know. Something, something. I have no clue what's going on.
No, anymore. Amy Adams is going to be in that with Christoph Waltz. I'm not kidding. This is a real movie. I think it's out in theaters now, actually. Or does it open on Christmas? I don't. If it's not now, it's soon. You know, when will now be then?
Then.
No, now. Soon.
Soon. You're going up on another movie, but it is in space, so I'll give
That's
you
what
that.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they get arrested. They get thrown in prison.
Yeah.
And somebody tries to steal his headphones, his music.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
No.
But then we did get to, you know, he got beat up and we got to see the gratuitous shirtless scene and just the boxers.
They sprayed him with orange water. I'm hoping that was water. I don't know what it is.
I thought it was Gatorade.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Why does Rocket wear pants?
Maybe he doesn't.
You don't want to see raccoon junk, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's modest.
Oh, okay. We didn't seem to see any raccoon junk, so.
I don't know. I wasn't really looking.
It was more looking at all the stuff that they had on his back.
Well, he adjusted himself at one point, so.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that legitimized the pants.
Yeah.
Oh, and according to the authorities on Xandar, they say that Peter Quill's alias is Space Lord.
He won't be happy about that.
Yeah, it says alias Space Lord.
Awesome.
Not Star Prince? Yeah. You know the guy would have put that in there.
Yeah, it's Space Lord. So, yeah, it's messed up even more.
Yeah, but it's cool to have a code name.
It's not weird at all.
No, it's not.
I've got several. It's kind of weird, though.
Okay.
You don't know me like you think you do.
All right, so the Guardians escape to prison. And the leg happens.
Yeah, I did think that was funny. All these, they're going to escape and... Patrick?
Oh, wow. I've never seen anybody put their hands up on this show.
Yeah, I know.
I just looked up Lila, and she is a sentient otter and Rocket soulmate.
Really?
Cool.
Yes, and she's... this is in the Marvel Universe database. And she is... an heir to, and it keeps screwing up on me, heiress to the largest toy-making empire on the planet Half-World. Her parents were murdered, and then apparently she and Rocket took up at some point during the Toy Wars. So, Lady Lila. She's an otter and his soulmate. So there you go.
Okay, now look up Tibius Lark, because Tibius Lark is a known associate of Groot.
Tibius Lark?
Yeah.
Why does the idea that there was a Toy Wars at some point? I want to see that movie.
I pictured the little walking bombs. You know, kind of even with oh god, the Super Mario Brothers movie from the 80s.
Bomb-Moms?
Yeah, but you know, so you see the wick, you know, burning and everything, but you got the little walking toy.
So they wage battle, had walking bombs at each other? Bomb-Moms?
Yeah, and then you could have the little toy soldiers. You know, well,
we saw this in Toys, the Robin Williams movie.
Exactly. Hey, if we learned nothing from Kevin Smith, you can take inspiration from other movies and stitch it all together and make your own thing.
Yeah, but not from
Toys. And then you end up with a guy going full walrus.
So they escape from the prison. And
yeah. This is and, your show
Rocket,
too. You
Rocket
can take
needed
over
all
anytime.
Of these materials, and he started listing what he needed, and the main ingredient he needed, well, Groot just happened to help him out. Well, sooner than expected. Just ripped it off the wall and started, alarm started going off, and oh crap, we needed that one last.
But I just love when he pulled it off the back, pulled the cover. It just clobbered a couple of people, just like,
yeah,
you know.
Just fling the cover, you know, yeah. No regard to anyone else being there.
And Drax in the background kind of watching him like, what's going on here?
And that escape is just my favorite line, where when Drax throws the weapon to Rocket, and he just goes, creepy little beast. It's just like, awesome. That's just, there you go. That's just, I want to go up to people and refer to them as creepy little beast. Give me my coffee.
Oh, yeah. There's,
Howard says about, Lark is just an associate that shows up on his rap sheet.
Oh, okay.
So there's no image or anything that I could find. But,
thank you.
But I'll tell you, the otter chick is pretty hot.
For an otter, yeah.
Yeah, for an otter.
I've heard of otters. I'm not sure you would like otters, Patrick, but okay.
Otter? I don't even know her.
So we do get to learn that Rocket is really smart. He's always putting things together, so he's not just some dumb creature, you know, who wants to, you know, use a gun and, you know, that's all he's going to say is just shoot things. And he's,
bang, bang.
Yeah. Pew, pew. But he is intelligent, and, well, he's got a sadistic side, asking for the prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's not even needed. He just wanted to, like, what did he look like when he was hopping around?
Isn't that hilarious?
And then Peter has to, of course, go back for his Walkman.
Yeah.
And Drax seems none too happy when, when he discovers that's what he went back for.
Yeah, he was impressed with him.
This man's an imbecile.
Yeah, pot calling the kettle black. Nothing goes over my head.
My reflexes are too fast. Are too fast. I would catch it.
And we've not mentioned how great green looks on Gamora.
Oh yeah,
she carries that color well. I'm sorry, she does. She just, I mean, I'm sorry. You put the blue one next to the green one, it's the green one.
That's why everyone in Star Trek liked the green Orion women. They didn't go for the Andorians so much, but they're combative.
Plus, Zoe Saldana's already played a blue alien. Come on. You know this one.
It'll hit me.
Don't hit me.
No, he said it will
hit me.
Oh, I thought he said don't hit me.
You know this one. Come on, kitty.
I know. Don't hit me.
No more wire hangers.
No.
Come on.
I can't think of it all right now. Oh. Yeah, that's right. She was a kitty.
Uh-huh.
She was an avatar, right?
There
she
you
was,
go.
I can't think of her name. Every time I see her, I think of Jake Sully. Yeah.
See, I have it even worse. I hear You Know Nothing, Jake Sully, but at the same time, I also hear, You Know Nothing, Jon Snow. And I just get, I've fused the two in my mind. So now I picture her actually saying that to Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
She's in that?
No.
No.
You just not at all. It's just, there's just, when she, the way that she says Jake Sully, it reminds me of Ygritte saying Jon Snow. And so I just hear her saying, You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, but as the blue avatar. Or, God, what was the name of the species? Now I can't remember.
What, the cats?
Yeah.
The.
Hey, we're talking about a different movie again. Yeah. So.
They're blue cats, that's all. They live in a tree, a big scratching post. But she's green in this, totally opposite. And humanoid.
Yeah, and they get out and go to nowhere.
Literally. And a giant old head that was severed.
Yes.
When I first saw that in the theater, I recognized it as a celestial. Did you ever keep up with the... Any of you keep up with the comics? The Marvel comics? Mark, I know you had to have some kind of remembrance of the Celestials. So, but yeah, I recognize it from one of the storylines. I think the Infinity War, I think they had some of those. And one of them was called like the Beholder. And they were these gigantic creatures in space. And I think whenever some of the heroes went to see them, went to face them in the comic, they were like, like Captain America and everyone. They were little tiny people compared to these gigantic, Celestials. And so I immediately recognized it as a head that was floating in space and had the kind of the eyes. And I guess it was hollowed out. And they were mining all of the organics of this head, which seemed to be a great treasure to people on the black market. And that's where they were going to sell the orb.
Yeah, at Tavon's. And, well, Karina really screwed that up, but not after we got a really great scene in the bar where they were gambling.
Yeah, the, what would you call that? Intergalactic?
Cantina.
Yeah.
Having like an intergalactic mouse fight, or I don't know, what would that be, like a dog fight? Some kind of
alien creature eats other alien creature while it tries to get to the other side of the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Drax, now let's put more of this blue liquid in us. That's the first thing you've said that's not batshit crazy.
I love that line.
Yeah, and Gamora gets to be introduced to music and the softer side of Peter Quill, the sentimental. Yeah.
Yeah,
the,
for about a split
the
second.
Decent part of the character. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things over in Tavon's when they finally get to go over there.
Yeah, this is the point where we get to see the Collector again. Now, what was it, the Stinger in, was it Thor the Dark World? We get to first see him. This is kind of like the first connection you have to the Marvel Universe. I mean, you've got others. But
that's right.
That is the major connection to it. They go in and try to sell it, and he starts, explaining what this object is. But you get to see what he collects. He collects living beings.
And well, one of the things that I recognized, and I'm like, is that Adam Warlock's cocoon in there?
Yeah, that was one
and
thing.
And there's so much. I mean, one of the things I got to try to do is get a better screen grab, because you just know they filled up so much in there.
Oh, are you talking about in this movie or Thor the Dark World?
In this movie, too.
Okay, I remember both seeing it in the Thor movie, that there was a very good image of it. And, anyone else would probably just, what the heck is that in there? But, anyone who knows it would see, oh, shit, that's Adam Warlock in there.
Yeah.
And now, what's the dog's name again?
Cosmo.
Cosmo, that's what I thought. When Cosmo and Rocket are
a member of the later Guardians.
Oh, cool. But Cosmo and Rocket growling at each other. I think Rocket's probably my favorite character. Just, he makes me laugh the most. I don't know, but I also like Bradley Cooper, so.
Yeah.
And that's going all the way back to his portrayal of Will Tippin on Alias. But that's a topic for another day, and I'm sure I've talked about it many times
before. I do like how the collector offered to buy Groot, you know, when he was dead, of course. You know, upon your death. I mean, I'll pay you now, but.
Well, they could.
No, I think that's. No, I'm just. I'm looking at the scene right now, and it looks like Groot's agreeing to it. Like.
Well, it seemed fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I'll take your money now for my corpse when I die, sure. And in fact, you know, T'Von can go collect on that. Yeah, since we're going. Spoiler free, yeah, we lose Groot in the final battle. T'Von can actually go back and collect.
Get a twig or two.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. You gonna read them?
Read who?
You said we got a tweet or two.
No, I said a twig or two.
Oh. I'm like, okay. I'm glad we got tweets.
Well... he is showing off what this orb contains, and it you get to see another one of the Infinity Stones. And we've, you know, if you've seen the other Marvel movies, which you don't really have to, I guess, but
yeah, you don't have to, but
if you have, you immediately know that there are, he said, six of them out there, and he explains the whole Infinity Stones, and we've already seen two of them, you know, Thor. The Avengers movie, and you know, the first Captain America movie, and now this third one. And so whenever his servant kind of, I guess she puts in her notice, right?
Karina?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she puts in her notice.
And
she trashed the place. I've never seen anyone quit like that.
Yeah, well, it's better than I've done. But, you know, next time maybe that's the way I'll quit. But it made me think of the Adam Warlock thing. And then now that all of, you know, these containers or cells, whatever you want to call them, are destroyed, is this how things begin with that, with the Infinity War that's going to, you know, in the future for the Avengers movies? Is this how he gets out and he's out there now? So, that, you know, that kind of crossed my mind whenever that happened, when all of the, you know, the cells were destroyed and all of his prizes or collections were freed. We did get to see Cosmo run out, take off. Screw this place. Or duck this place.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. And of course, Drax has to freaking take on Ronan himself. But, you know, I like Drax. I do. But he was a very problematic character. It's always getting him in trouble.
Yeah, he can't seem to stay out of trouble. He's looking for trouble. He's angry.
I think he just in a position where he couldn't really feel like he could trust anybody, and but that changes. He gets himself some friends, and I think Drax is one of the best arcs in the whole movie. To go from, you know, where he started to like all touchy feely towards the end.
Yeah.
Actually, that is a good point, Jim. With him, cause yeah, I mean, he was ready to kill everybody, and there he is petting Rocket at the end. You're right. I guess. Subliminally, I thought that, but now that you said that, yeah, very obvious now. Yeah.
Yeah, he
he has no family at the beginning of the movie. He's got nobody, and now he's got family again. So,
yeah, he had lost them. They'd all been murdered, and so he was filled with hate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So joining the Guardians of the Galaxy relieved him of that. I like that. Let's go. That's very Canadian way to look at it, Jim. I don't know what Canadian has to do with it. I really don't.
Or he could just be an asshole. Just,
yeah, well, no, you found the best in him. I like it. But yeah, he is kind of an asshole. He screwed a bunch of things up.
Well, don't ever look for the best of things from me, because I'll never point them out, you know. So that's why you got Jim.
Yeah, he's optimistic. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm optimistic that things are going to suck.
Well, I mean, it could be a complete and total disaster. At least you're looking to, you know, a higher level.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we don't have to give a full synopsis of the entire movie here, but... When they ultimately do end up battling Ronan the final time, they all come together and everything. One of the scenes that I thought was just spectacularly rendered was when Groot was lighting everything up. When he was releasing, you know, those glowing spores or whatever they were, just everything in that scene. Every time I watch that, I absolutely love it. It's
yeah, all
it's
these hardened
extremely
people
well done,
and they're mesmerized by this.
Yeah, they're all gazing, and the actual CGI work that was done, and that, like, I end up gazing when I'm watching it too. It's just pretty,
pretty lights.
That and when Star-Lord, you know, when Peter and Gamora are out looking out just into space, you know, on the patio.
Oh, when he's explaining the music.
Right.
Footloose, yeah.
Yeah, the Footloose scene. Like Kevin Bacon.
I did like his little remarks to his, you know, probably no one else got in that, you know, in that universe, you know, he's a little Kevin Bacon. Oh, yeah.
Like in the very beginning, Ninja Turtle better stop poking me.
Yeah. When they're walking through nowhere, he's talking about the outlaws, Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I want Drax to meet John Stamos so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Stamos.
For some reason, I don't remember John Stamos as much of an outlaw. I just remember his Uncle Jesse and not the Dukes of Hazzard Uncle Jesse. That was more of an outlaw.
No. John Stamos had the outlaw. I mean, he had the outlaw mullet. He had the thing going.
Okay. Outlaw for having the mullet.
Yeah.
Nice. I think my favorite line of Drax's was finger to the throat means death. Metaphor.
Yeah, not quite. Yeah.
And he didn't even do it, a finger to the throat. He ripped the guy's computer part out of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, funny line. Let's see. I have a couple of notes here that I wanted to specifically bring up. Okay, Patrick. When Groot is extending himself to protect everyone, and Rocket is, you know, Groot, you idiot, you're gonna die. That entire scene, you know, another highly emotionally charged scene. How did that compare? I guess where I'm trying to go with this is I know. You have a particular book that you enjoy, and it was made into a movie. And frankly, this is the easy one to go there, so I'm going to go there. How would you compare that scene to The Notebook? Do you have a new favorite?
You know, I guess that is a pretty interesting question. And I don't believe in altruism in the actual sense, because I believe everybody has motive for everything. That's just me. But Groot seemed to have an altruistic side to him, which is, you know, like, you know, you brought up The Notebook. There is some altruism that does exist out there. And I think Groot sacrificing himself it is very significant and symbolic of that. So, I guess.
I would think so, with his, especially with his last line.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, I mean, that... you know, we are Groot.
Indeed.
That was, you know, that was a translation everyone could, you know, read. Everyone could understand what he was saying. You know, why are you doing this, Groot? You know, you're going to die. We are Groot. It's like, oh.
That's
his family. Of course he's going to protect them now. And he knows what's going to happen.
The thing that really got me was afterwards, you know, Rocket dealing with the gravity of what his last words to Groot were. And, you know, he says, I called him an idiot. You know, that's clearly affecting Rocket after the fact. You know, this hard little sarcastic and sometimes even borderline cruel character. And we get to see some real emotional depth from him. I think that's really part of the magic of this movie. They developed the characters really, really well.
Look at it this way. Look at the regret that Peter had from not holding his mother's hand at the beginning. So you mm-hmm. have it at the beginning and toward the end of the movie with two major characters.
Yeah.
And they both have had the same regret. The only thing is, Peter's carried it longer for the 26 years versus Rocket.
And ultimately, Peter did get to, there was the callback to that moment. And when they were old, when he was holding the stone and everyone was connecting, Gamora reaches out, with the Peter, take my hand, and we got the throwback to that scene. And then Drax comes and puts his hand on him, and Rocket, you know, reaches up. I was really hoping to see Rocket holding a couple of the Groot twigs in his hand right there. I was very specifically looking for that this time around. And
I didn't even think to look. He wasn't?
He wasn't. Oh. Empty hand. You know, but I'm just assuming that, you know, he had, you know, the Groot twig that they ended up planting. You know, he had that in his shirt pocket, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It must have been there.
Person, yeah.
Yeah, it was touching to see him kind of break down and, you know, like you said, a hardened kind of criminal bounty hunter, whatever he was. And, you know, just break down and lost his friend. So, yeah, they put a lot of thought into the characters.
It would be like seeing, you know, Boba Fett get torn up and emotional over someone.
Well, he kind of did in episode 2. His father.
Yeah, he was a kid. Yeah. And he got over it real quick.
Yeah.
Then he started wearing lingerie under his armor and things changed.
Right. And then that was it.
That's where Boba Fett's softer side is, under his armor.
Yep.
Wow, quite literally. Okay.
Sexy underwear does change your perspective on things. I said too much.
Black is becoming.
Pink lace is the new black. Okay, now I have a very specific question when it comes to the actors. How long did Dave Bautista have to sit in a makeup chair?
Oh yeah, I mean
his entire upper torso and everything with all, you know, that
those have to be
multi-layered and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know Gamora's just green, but she doesn't have, like, what does he have, like, tattoos? Or they're not scars, but there's some kind of marking.
Yeah.
It's like embossing.
Yeah.
And you can spray paint her. I mean, that's what they typically do, is spray. So her sitting in the chair is much less, or standing, or whatever it is that she did. But, yeah, you're right, with the tattoos all over the body, or the brands, or whatever you want to call those.
Even potentially
hours.
Well, yeah. And how fragile was it? Like, yeah, you know, when he was doing some of that movement, would it crack? Would it move with him?
Well, yeah, it probably was latex based, and then I'm sure the CGI people had to go in occasionally where there might have been a piece that would crack that they saw, or, you know. So that's the magic of movie making.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine they would have to add some kind of CGI to that, because that's detailed work right there. Even mm-hmm. for the makeup that they have these days, I mean, that.
Yeah. Well, it's like Ronan and his Chia Pet beard, or whatever the hell that is, from his eyes down to his chin.
Yeah, it just hadn't started growing yet.
Yeah.
You had me cracking up, Jim, when you said that Ronan needs to switch to waterproof mascara.
Oh, he looks like the Tammy Faye Baker in Space.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, I was also kind of wondering about Zoe Saldana and Karen Gillan. How much time they had to spend in the makeup chair, but I would imagine actually a lot of Karen Gillan's was just CGI, just because of you know, you've got the scene, you know, where they're actually talking to Thanos, and, you know, she's just got her arm open, you know, she's adjusting the gears and levers or whatever it is that's in there.
She yeah. didn't have a droid to do that for?
Well, that's real.
No, droids are in.
Yeah, no,
in
that's
the Star
what I'm saying.
Wars
she
universe.
Has to do it herself. Yeah. She don't get to have droids.
And don't poor old Michael Rooker. I mean,
oh, yeah.
he's pretty blue, and then he's got like the he's got like the head
mohawk.
Bumper thing on top.
That, yeah, it looks like a light up mohawk.
Yeah, his yeah. mood mohawk.
I want one of those.
A mood mohawk. I like it.
It reminds me of, you know, the little. Rooster comb thing that the Cylons or the clone troopers had. So, you know, I want one of those for myself.
And you just know that Rooker's in the makeup chair going, make it look creepier. You know, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's something about it. Just like, yeah, make it look weirder.
Yeah, can you cut my hand off and make it look like I've got a knife there? That would be cool.
And just remember, you know, when we first got here, this crew wanted to eat you. They ain't never tasted Terran before.
It's overrated.
But I told them they got to do my makeup first. I protected you.
You always did have a scrot, boy. That's what he says.
Yeah. And that arrow that he has, that's pretty cool.
I just like, it's just nice to know that the term scrot is like galaxy-wide.
Yeah,
and in a yeah. Disney movie, ultimately, Disney. You know, it's a yeah. it's Marvel Studios, but they are owned by Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
They said hell and shit, you know, too. So.
I think he meant shot.
Yes,
shot.
So, I mean, yeah, that, I will say this much about Disney giving some leeway to their other properties that, you know, they're not Disneyfying everything. So, you know, hopefully that continues.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm
with
sure.
With the amount of money that this movie made, Disney has got to sit back and go, you know what? We'll let certain studios do what they're going to do, because if they're going to make us this kind of bank, if they want to say shit in a movie, or I mean shot, what's the difference?
Well, but this isn't even the first example from Marvel Studios. Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, it took on some, you know, pretty heavy stuff. They didn't soften any of it, and I seem to remember there being language in there at some point.
Yeah, I was trying to think of any kind of instances. I like how they don't have to put a lot of cursing into a movie that has that much action. I mean, what, 20 years ago, you'd have to have it in there with it. I don't know why, but, you know, it just seemed like it would go along with it. You'd have to have people cursing every 5 minutes when they tore somebody up or shot something or, you know, shoot something, duck that.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, the scene with Yondu and the arrow and all of, I'm forgetting the name of the paper people, as Drax called them.
Ronan's minions?
Yeah. Okay, the arrow goes through the first two or three. Why aren't the rest of them shooting him? The person controlling the arrow killing all of their friends?
They're paper people. They're minions. They're brainless.
Ah, no independent thought. Gotcha. That actually makes a lot of sense.
It's like...
They're like the battle droids. In yeah. Or episode one, or, you know, where they just all shut down at the same time when their brain shut down. Well, it's the same thing with them.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, it was good to finally see him use that, because, you know, he'd been threatening. You know, he'd open his coat up and there it would be. And he would do the little whistle and it would move around. So, you know, threaten people. But that was the first time you actually got to see him take people out.
Yep.
And you open his coat and he starts to whistle. What the hell is going on with this? He don't seem that mean. He's mean. Space Merle.
Space Merle. When you actually said that the first time, I didn't.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't get it. There'd be only one person that got that.
Yeah, but I picked it up once you actually called Jim out.
Yeah.
Directly. Like, I think I know what you're talking about now. Yay! yeah, we did finally get a tweet or two.
Did we?
Yeah. Literally. We got a tweet.
New followers, or...?
We do have a new follower, yeah.
Oh, you're going to follow them back?
That's not fair. Fair enough. Okay. So, from Diana, we've got tweet and or two.
So we did get a tweet or two. All right, very good.
And
thanks,
she's
Diana.
Also saying the paperboard.
Oh, the paperboard, nice. I like that one.
This is a good, fun movie. I will definitely keep watching it over and over and over again. like I said, I'm pretty sure this was viewing number 6.
Probably. Mine is like 3 or 4, maybe. That's only because I didn't get to see it so many times in the theater when it first came out. I would have seen it at least another time. But.
You know what? There is one thing that... God, I feel like I've actually brought this up before, but that's okay. The Awesome Mix Volume 1. When you buy that on iTunes or Amazon or Google Play or wherever you decide to get your music, you know, hey, buy the CD. however you acquire it, the last song, the one that Baby Groot ends up dancing to.
I never heard that
from
mentioned.
The Jackson 5.
I know where you're going, and I haven't heard anyone mention it before, but it's been on my mind. I think where you're going with it.
Well, that's from Awesome Mix Volume 2. So what are they doing selling it on Awesome Mix Volume 1?
I don't know. But that did cross my mind when I did see it the second time. I was like, wait, what? That doesn't belong there.
That's just that's one that's stuck with me since I bought the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I did buy the soundtrack. I had a few of the songs, but yeah, it's just a good soundtrack. So is the score. The score's really good. And it's actually, there's a couple of parts where I swear they're using the same chords and the same timing that they've used in other Marvel properties. And I think they're doing that to actually just tie them all in together. It's subtle, and maybe I'm seeing something that's not actually there that I just want to be there. It has that same kind of feel to it. I really like that synergy between all the movies. Even though this really is this is a standalone movie. You don't need to know anything about Thor, Iron Man, you know, Captain America, the Hulk, you know, any of them.
Yeah, I do want to ask that, because when I talked to you about it, Patrick, one time, I said that you wouldn't have to know everything about the Marvel Universe that they have out there, you know, because it's so cross-referenced with the other movies, but this one could stand alone. So, was I right in that?
Oh yeah, and that was when we first started talking about this. When Miranda asked if I had, you know, if I was looking at it through critical eyes or not, and I said, you know, the feedback that I've gotten about the movie made me not be critical looking at it. Your comments or messages about this a couple weeks ago is part of what made me just sit back and go, well, if it doesn't tie into any other Marvel movie specifically that's going to affect me, then I don't need to really sit and try to figure out what's going on other than just what this movie is. And you were right. So, Kat, it's part of the reason that I didn't sit here and be critical or be somewhat apprehensive of watching the movie, because I don't like watching movies that go over my head because there's references to things that are very significant. I mean, for all I know, there may have been references in this movie to some of the other Marvel movies that I didn't catch, but they must not have been large enough to have any significance.
They had no real impact on the story whatsoever.
Okay.
In fact, I can't really think other than the collector.
Yeah, and he made no reference at all to any other part that he had in the universe. He was just the collector. And
I wouldn't have known that he was anything other than what he just portrayed himself in this movie. So well done on that. And, you know, and like I said, between what Cap said and a couple of my other friends, where they told me you don't need to know anything about, you know, Winter Soldier or any of the other flicks to have, you know, an enjoyable movie experience. So, and everybody was right.
Well, I didn't think anything would go over your head. I mean, your reflexes are too fast.
All right. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy. This one actually did really, really well on the tomato meter. 90% with critics and 94% with the audience. So I definitely enjoyed it. I can't think of...
I just wanted to mention one thing.
Okay, go for it.
Patrick, what do you think of the stinger?
What did I think of what?
The stinger.
At the very end when he was in the bathroom?
Oh, you missed the stinger?
Yeah.
At the very end after the credits?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Okay, then.
I'll have to go back.
Oh, crap is right.
I'll check it out.
All right, then. That's all I wanted to ask.
You can yell at me on one of the other Skype chats.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
That's true.
Yep, the way it is, man.
Yeah. Oh, what was that, Star-Lord? At one point, I think I just peed a little. Yeah. Oh, well, I think that's going to do it for Midnight Movie Nights with this week.
It's always nights with a K. With a K!
The Midnight Movie Nights podcast is listed in iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, and a few other podcast directories.
We usually try to start at about 10, but... lately, we've been a little late. We're going to get back on schedule, though. But this was a very special episode. It was 50. Yeah. 50th episode. And you can listen to the stream over at midnightmovienights.com. And, you know, it's where you have most of our information.
You said this was a special episode?
Yeah, 50th episode.
50?
Yeah.
It's not like we did anything, you know, different or anything on this one at all, at any point.
The opening with the band... like a marching band from high school. Yeah, I caught that. It's like, what is this, drum line?
I thought it was fun.
It was fun. It's very different. I liked it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, I... on Twitter, we're at Movie Nights Pod, and if you need more than 140 characters, our email address is contact@midnightmovienights.com.
And as always, thanks to Mr. Brad Raven for the graphic, Judge Funky Boy for the theme, and DC Cantel for the segment intros, which we didn't get to play this week, but we always enjoy them.
No, we played the one.
No, yeah, that's right, we did.
Yeah.
And we do have a new follower.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Who is that?
Why don't you tell me?
It's Tim from the SLS cast.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. So apparently he's making himself a little bit easier to find on Twitter.
Awesome.
Just a little bit. He's actually starting to use it a little more publicly. If only we can convince someone else to do that. Yeah, but we would like to thank our guests, Revelstoke Jim. And since we're doing Twitter handles, let's just do all of their Twitter handlers. We've got at Revelstoke Jim, at Marco Shark, and at Tessic1138.
Which you should really, really start following him.
Yeah, that definitely. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Okay.
Thanks guys.
Bye.
All right. I'm Miranda Janelle.
I'm that fracking cat, not Groot.
Let's go watch a movie.
And talk hard.
You be careful. People in masks cannot be trusted.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
Go away, Baton!
Think I'll leave you two pals alone.
Whoopsie.
Midnight Movie Night.
Being entertained over here by someone taking advantage of technology.
Oh, Kitty said.
Oh, Maxie.
Oh, what the hell? Someone's been chewing on too much of Groot. Seriously, guys, thanks for joining us. We had a lot of fun. We have officially entered the stinger. Is there any half-assed announcements that we want to do? No?
No, not that I can think
of. So I should just hit this button?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Good night.